the weekly podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
Good morning. As we open our service, let's go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we have this day set aside to gather with our brothers and sisters of like faith. We're thankful that we have this house here, the house of God here to worship in. And Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing as we do. We ask for your blessing as we raise our voices to you and sing praises to your name. And as we gather around your table, and as we hear your word proclaimed, your beautiful words, your wonderful words to go along with what Jim was playing. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you watch out for our brothers and sisters who aren't here. And you know why they're not here, whether it's work, travel, illness, but restore them to us and bring them back to us so that they can worship with us once again. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. From Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name. That name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue shall acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Note that every knee will bow and every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. There are those who will wait for judgment day to bow their knee and confess the lordship of Christ. For some, this day will not be triumphant. It will not be glorious. It will be a day when they can no longer hide from the truth made so plain to men. No excuses will be accepted. No future opportunities will exist. But for those of us in Christ, it will be triumphant. It will be glorious. This is because we have not waited to bow our knee or to openly confess the name of the Lord. We've proclaimed him. We've repented from our sins and been baptized in the name of the Lord. Our gathering around this table of remembrance is another acknowledgement of Jesus. When we come to the table, we acknowledge Jesus as Lord. And as he is our Lord, we follow his commands given in the word, including gathering together with those of like faith around this table of remembrance. We acknowledge that Jesus as our Savior, and we remember the sacrifice he made for us. And as we come to the table, we are well aware that all have fallen short of the glory of God. Weekly participation in this meal keeps God's plan of salvation at the forefront of our minds, and it reminds us of God's love for us. From Romans 14, verses 8 and 9, if we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Jesus will be our Lord in death as he is today in life. So as we live today, let us gather around this table now, and as we depart, live a life serving our Lord and proclaiming his deity. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this invitation around this table each week. We're thankful for the emblems that you have given us so that we can remember your broken body and shed blood. And we're thankful that you would make that sacrifice for those of us, and we know we don't deserve it. We're thankful that you showed your love in this way, and we're thankful that we can remember it here now. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Good to see you this morning. Just a number of announcements here. I'm not going to make all of them, but please do look. We have a number of things coming up. If you notice the insert in the bulletin, Women's Retreat coming up at Elkhorn, and also a Heartbeat is moving from where they're located in East Liverpool. They're moving to Northeast Ohio Bible College, and they need some help packing and moving. So there's some dates here. If you're interested in helping them, you can give them a call. Kate Flowers is the one in charge of that, so you can talk to Kate if you need to. The Fall Festival for the kids coming up the 10th and middle school kickoff the 11th, so read that if you have kids in those situations. Corn Maze is coming up the 17th. They had a blast last year when they went on that, so mark that on your calendar if you have kids or grandkids. First Responders Breakfast is Saturday, and we have a box out here to put cards, thank you cards. Now I'm going to say, how many of you have sent or brought a thank? Well, I know, we forget. So we made these thank you cards for you. There are a whole bunch of different types here in the back tables on the Welcome Center. If you just take time today to write a little message on the back, say thank you and put that in the box, that would go a long way. I know we're all very thankful, we're all very forgetful, so we need them in by the 10th. So if you would do that and express your thanks for what all they do, and what they do is a lot. This Wednesday we'll be starting a new Bible study, some positive things God wants you to hear. So I think we'll have a good time as we talk about this for the next 4 weeks. Hope you'll set aside a time to join us on Wednesday night. September 18th is National Back to Church Sunday. So it's a good time to invite people that haven't been in church in a while. We were supposed to have postcards today. They didn't come. We'll have them for next Sunday. A postcard that says it's National Back to Church Sunday and has the sermon series we're starting on the back and invites them to come. But you might have a family or a friend, a neighbor, somebody that you want to invite, somebody hasn't been here for a while. You can just take one of those cards, fill out their address, and send it to them, and invite them to be here on the 18th. So we'll have those cards probably Monday. They might even come today. But anyhow, you can stop this week and pick some up, or you can get them next week. But a good opportunity. It's national. It's something everybody's doing, and a good opportunity for people who haven't been here to get back in church. I'll be starting a new sermon series entitled I'm Confident. And we ought to be confident in our faith. We don't believe what we believe because we're a bunch of gullible people. So we're going to talk about why we believe God is real, and that we're confident in the fact that God is real, and that the Bible is God's word, and that Jesus is the Son of God, and we're confident in heaven. So we're going to have a good time in that sermon series, and I think it's one that many of your friends who maybe do not come to church regularly would enjoy, and it would be helpful. Please do look over the prayer list in the bulletin. Remember these people daily if you can, and with your cards. Let's take a moment and go to God in silent prayer. Amen. A man was sitting at the dinner table with his wife and his 7-year-old daughter, and he says, I'm not going to be eating for the next week. I'm going to fast for the next week. And his daughter said, well, what do you mean you're going to fast, Daddy? And he said, well, rather than having meals for the next week, during that time, I'm going to meditate, I'm going to read scripture, I'm going to pray, I'm going to be reminded of how important spiritual things are. I'm going to fast, I'm not going to eat for a week. And she said, Daddy, you can't do that. And he said, well, why? She said, well, you'll die. And he kind of chuckled and said, I won't die. There are a lot of people in the Bible who fasted. Moses fasted, David fasted, Paul fasted. And she said, yes, Daddy, and they're all dead. Well, little girl was confused about fasting. And there are some people today who are also confused about it. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what it means to fast. Fasting was a common practice in the Old Testament and New Testament times. The whole nation of Israel would fast on the Day of Atonement. Luke chapter 2, verse 37, read about a widow named Anna. She stayed in the temple. She worshiped in the temple every day. And the Bible says that she prayed and she fasted. Acts chapter 13, we see the church, the leaders in the church in Antioch, sending out Barnabas and Saul on the very first missionary journey. And before they do that, they take time to pray and to fast. Important decision. They're going to meditate upon this. Make sure it's the right decision. Acts chapter 14, Paul, after he had seen Jesus on the road to Damascus, goes to Damascus, and he waits for Ananias to get there. And while he waits, the Bible says he prays and he fasts. So a lot of people fasted. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. In the Old Testament, Moses did. And Jesus not only practiced fasting, he instructed his disciples how to fast. So we're going to look at a passage that talks a little bit about fasting this morning. Matthew chapter 6. And that, I believe, should be, Matthew chapter 6. Let's go ahead and began in verse 16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their face to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what you have done in secret will reward you. So there are three questions I want to ask and try to answer concerning fasting this morning. Number one, what is fasting? What does that mean? Number two, why should we fast? And then three, how should we fast? So let's begin with what is fasting? Now, if you look at the different people who fast throughout the scriptures, I think we can come up with a definition for fasting. And this is it. Fasting is abstaining from food and possibly water for spiritual purposes. Let's read that again. Fasting is abstaining from food and possibly water for spiritual purposes. So as soon as you read that, you understand that fasting, biblical fast, is not for the purpose of losing weight. We're not dieting. Now, maybe that's a secondary benefit, depending on how long the fast may be, but that is not the purpose of a biblical fast. Now, there are three types of fast mentioned in the Bible. First of all, there's the normal fast. Jesus, as he began his public ministry, the Spirit led him into the wilderness, and there he fasted for 40 days. And the Bible says that after fasting for 40 days, he was hungry. Now, I don't know, but I think that might be a little understatement. After fasting for 40 days, he was hungry. After fasting for 40 minutes, I'm hungry. You know? After fasting for 40 days, I'd be famished. I'd be starving. I would be out of my mind hungry. In fact, I might be so desperate that I might even consider eating mushrooms and Brussels sprouts. I don't know. I'd have to be in the situation to determine that. But anyhow, we have the normal fast. And a normal fast is this: abstaining from food. Simply abstaining from food for a spiritual purpose. Jesus fasted for 40 days here. A normal fast can be any length of time. We're talking about what the fast is: abstaining from food. The length of time, 3 days, 3 weeks, 1 day, doesn't make a difference. A normal fast is simply abstaining from food. Then we have in the Bible what is called an absolute fast. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 9, we see Moses goes up to Mount Sinai, and there he stayed for 40 days and 40 nights, and he ate no bread and drank no water, it says. Now that's an absolute fast. No food and no water. Now, God supernaturally took care of Moses here. You cannot go without water for 40 days. You can go without food for a long period of time, because even from food, sometimes you get moisture. But you cannot go without water. Basically, you got 3 days. After 3 days, it's tricky. So God supernaturally took care of him as he fasted. Esther asked the Jews. She was going before the king on their behalf, and she asked the Jews to pray for her. And she asked them to fast, to not eat or drink anything for 3 days. So they were going to the limit there with that not drinking. In Acts 9:9, we read that Paul went to Damascus to wait for Ananias to come. And again, he did not eat or drink anything for 3 days. So no eating, no drinking, no liquids, no food. That's an absolute fast. We don't see too many people in the Bible doing these absolute fasts, but we do have it. We also have a type of fast known as a partial fast. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 3, says Daniel fasted for 3 weeks, and it says this. He said, I ate no choice food. No meat or wine touched my lips. So when I read this, I realize that there are certain types of food that Daniel was fasting from eating, but he could eat other things. Maybe he could not have steak, but he could have hamburger. You know, he was fasting from just a certain type of food, a certain choice food. So a partial fast, abstaining from certain foods or drinks for a spiritual purpose. And we read other times in the Bible where people do that. You might say, oh, what good is that? What good is it just to say I'm not going to have meat for the next week? What purpose would that serve? Well, it could serve a number of purposes. One thing, if we say, I'm not going to have coffee. I usually have 3 cups of coffee in the morning, cup of coffee at lunch, cup of coffee at, I'm not going to have a cup of coffee. And you fast from having that coffee for the week. Well, by the end of the week, you're very grateful that you can start having the coffee again. And it reminds you of the blessings God has given to you and how thankful you are for sometimes even the little things that you have in life. So there can be various reasons why we might have a partial fast. Those who celebrate Lent will a lot of times give up something. Now, sometimes their motives aren't right, but still, it can be a partial fast. That's okay. So the second question we want to ask is, why should we fast? Well, the first thing I want you to notice that in the scriptures, we are never commanded to fast. Nowhere in the New Testament are Christians commanded to fast. In the Old Testament times, we see kings who will call a nation to fast because enemies are coming upon them, and they want to seek God's help, and they want to make wise decisions. But there's only one time in all the Bible that God commands anyone to fast. And that's, he commands the whole nation of Israel to fast on the Day of Atonement. But that's the only time that God commands people to fast. So we as Christians, we're not commanded to fast. So you haven't been fasting. You haven't broken one of God's commands. However, when you look at Jesus' statement there in the Sermon on the Mount, as he talks to his disciples about fasting, notice what he says. When you fast. He doesn't say, if you fast. The indication is that Jesus expected his disciples to fast and maybe expects us to fast also. And we have example after example of people fasting in both the Old Testament and New Testament for various reasons. Let me suggest just a few reasons for fasting. One might be fasting helps us to keep our priorities in order. You know, it's interesting when you look at Jesus fasting for those 40 days in the wilderness, the devil comes to him and says, hey, why don't you turn these stones into bread? You see, the devil always knows what the best temptation is to give us. If I hadn't been eating for 20 days or so, and the devil comes and says, you have the ability to get food, that's a real temptation. But Jesus had made a commitment to pray and to fast and prepare for his time as he's beginning to minister. So Jesus says to Satan, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. You see, what good does it do for us to eat food that will sustain our body, but to not eat the bread of life, which will sustain us spiritually, sustain us for eternity? Luke chapter 16, we read about two men. There's a rich man and a poor man named Lazarus. We don't know what the rich man's name was. Legend has his diabetes, but we don't know that. The rich man, the Bible says, lived in luxury every day. His table was spread with the best type of foods. He never went hungry, yet there was Lazarus outside his gate, hoping for just some crumbs from his table. When they died, Lazarus went to be by Abraham's side. He went to paradise. He went to heaven. The rich man went to hell. One took care of the spiritual portion of his life. One only took care of the physical portion of his life. Jesus said, what shall profit a man if he gain the whole world and yet loses his soul? Fasting reminds us to keep our priorities in order. Suppose you go on a fast for 3 days, and you get hungry. And going on the fast helps you to realize how frail you are and that your life here in this world isn't always going to be, that you're going to leave this world one day. And fasting helps you to realize how precious life is and how we need to prepare not only for the here and now, but for eternity. Fasting also helps us consider the importance of an action or a decision we're about to make. When the church in Antioch was getting ready to send out Barnabas and Saul on this missionary journey, they prayed and they fasted. Why did they do that? Well, this was a big venture they were taking, sending out these two on this missionary journey. Are these the right men? How should it be done? Where should they go? There were a lot of things to think over. So is this the right decision? So they meditated upon it. They did not eat this food because this gave them a time to do more thinking and praying and seeking God's guidance. They needed to think this over and grasp the importance of what they were doing. The Bible says after starting churches, Paul and Barnabas then went back to these churches. They appointed leaders in these churches. And when they appointed these leaders, they did so by prayer and fasting. Again, why fast? What's the purpose? Well, this is a serious thing you're doing. These churches were going to face persecution very shortly. They needed leaders who were going to stand firm. They needed leaders who were doctrinally strong. They needed leaders who were going to keep the church together. So it wasn't something they did quickly. Who wants to be a leader? Okay, you. No, they prayed about the people they were going to ordain or appoint or set aside. And they fasted and thought about this. Eating is important. If we don't eat, we get hungry, we get irritable, we get tired. If we abstain from eating long enough, we can lose our health, we become weak, and if we don't eat for a long enough period of time, we die. So if we miss a day, a meal, or we fast for 2 or 3 days, instead of eating, we spend time in prayer and Bible study, and we think over an action that we're about to take, it reminds us of the seriousness of that action and gets us to focus. And we get into God's Word. We seek God's guidance. And we get into His Word, and we have time to find out and to think over what we are doing. Find out what God wants us to do. Fasting also is a way to express sorrow over sin. God called Jonah to go preach to the Ninevites. And the message to the Ninevites was basically this: time is up. In 40 days, it's over for all of you. And the Ninevites believed what Jonah preached, and they repented, and they dressed in sackcloth and ashes, and they fasted, and God spared them. The fast expressed to God their sorrow over sin and the fact that they had taken Jonah's message seriously. And time again, we see people fasting in the Old Testament time because of sorrow over sins that they had committed. As a lack of food will cause physical death, sin will cause spiritual death. So fasting reminds us of the seriousness of sin and expresses to God that we are sorrowful for our sin. But it's not enough just to fast and say we're sorry. We also need to change. We also need to repent. That's important. In Isaiah chapter 58, the Israelites were good at ritualistic fasting. And they fasted, but they were upset. If you read Isaiah chapter 58, they're upset because they say, we fast and God doesn't see. We fast and God doesn't notice. And God says, no, it's not that I don't notice. Here's what you need to understand. On your days of fasting, you do as you please. And I'm concerned what God says. You fast, but it doesn't change how you act. You do what you please. You eat. You don't eat, but the reason you're not eating is for show. You like bowing your head. You like dressing in sackcloth and ashes. You like people to notice you. And then your fasting ends in quarreling and strife. You're fasting, you fast and you exploit your workers. You fast and you hit each other with your fist. And God says, that's not the type of fast I've chosen for you. You fast and you don't change anything. You need to fast and loose the chains of injustice. He says, you need to fast and share your food with the hungry. You need to fast and give shelter and clothes to the poor. You need to fast, and you need to understand when your family comes for help and they need help, that you ought to be helping. And then in verse 9 of Isaiah 58, he says, then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You see, when we fast, we express sorrow over sin, and that sorrow ought to lead to a change of behavior. Fasting also gives us a time to pray and meditate and study. You're busy. You work, you work at home, you drive the kids here and there. There's church activities, there's doctor's appointments, there's errands to run, there's family responsibilities, people to visit, and you're exhausted. So a lot of times there's no time for that personal prayer and Bible study. So if you fast, simply one meal, like you skip a lunch twice a week. And when you skip that lunch, if you're at work, you usually get 30 minutes, at home 30 minutes. If you skip your lunch and you say, okay, I'm going to read my Bible during this time and I'm going to pray, you see that fasting helps you get closer to God. And I say, well, what good is that? I mean, I'm fasting 30 minutes for 2 times a week. I'm giving up lunch. But that's no big deal. Well, it is a big deal. That's an hour a week. That's an hour a week. You're studying the Word of God and you're praying. If you do that all month, that's 4 hours a month. If you do that all year, that's 52 hours a year. Just giving up lunch twice a week, fasting, realizing that your life in this world is short and you're preparing to meet God. So even though it doesn't seem like a long time, in a year, that's 520 hours. So fasting can help us in prayer, meditation, and study. And I'm going to give you something else here that's kind of odd, but I want to share this with you. Fasting may help you assist someone in need. Years ago, we had a guy here. He has passed away, but he didn't have much money. Most of the money that he had coming in, and he worked, went to pay rent and went for the gas in his car and pay his car. He did not have much money. Anyhow, we had Dr. Pruitt come in from Hasten, a mission, health and salvation for every nation. And Dr. Pruitt came in, and Dr. Pruitt has since passed away. But he came in, and he was talking about what they were doing. They had doctors in the Philippines and the islands around the Philippines, and they were going to take medical care to some of these people in these villages and these islands that did not even have medicine. We take for granted, we get a headache, we take an aspirin, we get a cough, we take cough. They didn't have any medicine. So he was collecting money to buy medicine to take to these villagers. And he said, listen, $10, $20, any amount of money you give will help us as we buy this medicine for these people. Well, we had this guy at church, didn't make much money. And he told me what he ate for lunch every day. He ate the same thing for lunch every day, year after year after year. He never changed because he was on this schedule. And that's just the type of guy he was. And every Monday he had chipped ham with cheese and chips for lunch. And then every Tuesday he had hot dog and chips. Now the hot dog was not on a hot dog bun. He bought a loaf of bread, and that's what he made his sandwiches on. On Wednesday he had peanut butter and chips. And then on Thursday he started all over again. A chipped ham sandwich with cheese and chips. On Friday, hot dog and chips. On Saturday, peanut butter and chips. But on Sunday, he splurged. On Sunday, he had a cheeseburger with a pickle. So he splurged. And that's what he had for lunch. Every day of every week, 52 weeks a year, that's what he had. And it cost him almost nothing. I mean, it didn't cost him much to eat that lunch. But one day, he came to my office, and he brought in $60. And he said, I'd like you to get this to Dr. Pruitt to buy medicine for those people in the Philippines. And I said, well, I'm glad to do that, but I appreciate the gift. This is, are you going to be okay? I mean, this is a lot of money for you. How did you come up with this money? And he said, well, I fasted. I did not eat lunch for 3 months. Now, obviously, his lunch didn't cost him much, but it took 3 months for him to raise $60 from not eating lunch, and he did that, and he gave this money to this mission to help. Now, that's unusual, and I don't know that that's something we want to try, but when you think about it, it's not a bad idea. How much does it cost for you to eat when you go out for lunch? Some of you take lunch, some of you make your lunch at home, some of you buy it. If you buy your lunch, now, even if you go to McDonald's, it's not $5 anymore. You know, so, but suppose you eat lunch for $5 and you decide, I'm going to fast one day a week, one lunch a week. In a month, that's $20. 2 days a week, in a month, that's $40. And suppose you took that money and you gave it to Caring Hands to feed someone. It reminds us of people's needs. It reminds us that God has blessed us. There's different things we can do. Well, there are a lot of reasons we may fast. David fasted because his son was ill. And he fasted and he prayed that God would heal him. God did not heal him. Fasting shows God you're very serious about something. But it doesn't mean that God's going to give you what you ask for. If it's not the best thing for you, not the best thing for others, if it's not within God's will, that's not what he's going to give you. So don't think that fasting is magic. If I fast, I have a better chance that God's going to answer me. That's not the purpose of fasting. Ezra prayed and fasted, asked for protection from danger. The Israelites fasted and prayed and asked for deliverance from enemies. So there are a number of reasons why we should fast, and I haven't covered them all. But the last question is this: how should we fast? There are two things we need to think about when we think about how should we fast. First of all, the length of the fast. And there's no specific time frame, no specific length for a fast given in the Bible. Moses and Jesus, 40 days. Daniel, 3 days at one time, 10 days at another time. Paul fasted for 3 days. The Israelite fasted only for 1 day on the Day of Atonement. So there's no proper length of time to fast in the Bible. That's up to you. If you fast, if you give up lunch 2 days a week or lunch one day a week and spend studying, you could do that almost for indefinitely. I'm going to do that. It's going to be something I'm going to do often. If you decide to do a normal fast or an absolute fast, you have to be a little concerned about your health. You need to think about that as far as how long you will fast. The length of fast depends upon you and the purpose for the fast. David fasted as long as his son was ill. When his son died, he quit fasting. Paul fasted waiting for Ananias to come to see him. When Ananias came, he quit fasting. So the Bible doesn't give us a specific time frame for fasting. And you should not think, the longer I fast, the more God will notice me. If I get to almost my deathbed, God's going to notice me more. That's not the purpose. Don't misunderstand. There's no particular time frame for fasting. The second thing we need, and the last thing we're going to talk about today, is the motive for fasting. We're not commanded to fast, but the Pharisees fasted twice a week. They fasted on Mondays, they fasted on Thursdays, and they did that for a reason. That those were market days. Those were days that people came to the market, and that's where they fasted. And they fasted to be seen, the Bible tells us. They wore dirty clothes. They tore their clothes. They had white paint on their faces. They had these sorrowful expressions on their faces. So people would look at their leaders and saying, look, they're doing religious stuff. They're fasting. They must be good leaders. And their motives were wrong. And Jesus said the praise they got from people, that would be the only reward they got. Fasting basically should be between you and God. Now, that doesn't mean you can never tell somebody you're fasting. I think if kids fast or teenagers fast, they certainly ought to let their parents know for practical reasons. And guys, if you decide to fast and you come home on Monday night and say to your wife, I'm not eating supper. And then you come home Tuesday night and you say, I'm not eating supper. You're not going to tell her because you don't want to know you're fasting. You come home Wednesday night and say, I'm not eating supper. Pretty soon there's going to be a fight. So for practical reasons, if your motive is right, your heart is right, it's okay to tell someone else you're fasting. That's not a problem. But if your motive is, I want people to see what great of a Christian I am, and therefore you tell them, then that's a problem. Jesus makes the point in Matthew chapter 6 that fasting is like anything else. It's not just a ritual. It's not an empty ritual. If it's done simply to be seen, if it's done just as a ritual, it's worthless. Joel chapter 2, we read this. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with your whole heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart, and notice he says, not your garments. You see, that's what the Pharisees were doing. Oh, they rent their garments. They laid in the dust. Look at us. God's not interested in that type of show. He's not interested in just rituals that your heart's not in. God wants your heart to be in it. He's not interested in meaningless rituals. God is interested in meaningful relationships. So in all the years here, I haven't talked much about fasting. I know that. So I hope this has helped some of you with understanding fasting a little better. Should you fast? Well, probably. It'd be a good thing to do every so often. And choose what kind of fast is best for you. But whatever type of fast you choose, make sure your heart is right. Make sure you're doing it for the right reason. So that might be something you haven't tried. Might be something that you will try in the near future. Now, if you're here this morning and not a Christian, before you start fasting, or maybe you ought to fast because you haven't made that decision to accept Christ. You're living for the here and now, and the here and now is short. You need to be living for eternity. The Bible says to become a Christian that we need to have faith that leads us to repent of our sins, confess Christ, and be baptized into Christ so our sins can be forgiven and we can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Become part of God's family. If you need to make that decision, we're going to sing an invitation hymn. And as we sing, if you come forward, we can baptize you into Christ today. Let's stand as we sing together.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to join us in person, we meet on Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m. and on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Have a great week.